I want to welcome you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know where you're at, we are at Streams of Life. I have two things to say about missions. Is that one, we need to pray for our team that's going out. Pray for how we can be active in supporting them. It's not just the responsibility of the family to seek the funds and stuff, but it's the church. We're sending from the church. So seek God, see what He would say to you and to help the Garlics to go on this trip. The other thing is, shortly we will be putting a map up on the side there. It's going to be just for missions that's in there. And what we will do is we will begin to start stringing some of the places where we're made contact, in working with our network or even other teams that are going out. We're not just restricted to what is going on with NRP. There are plenty of missionary groups going out, and as we grow, we'll have those opportunities. We'll invite those people to come in and speak with us about missions. The work is not done. We have to understand that every new generation that comes in, the work continues, because there's a generation that hasn't heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's see. Dylan, would you lead us, please? Father, I have your word, and I know it's true. I have everything it says I have. I am everything it says I am. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would be kind to turn to the 12th chapter of John, we will be reading a very abbreviated account of the scriptures of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Understand that all four gospels have recorded his entry. Some give more detail, some less. I've taken the road to a little less. We're going to start with verse 12 and read through verse 18. And it says, "The next day a great multitude had come to the feast, the Passover feast. And when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.' Then Jesus, when he had found a donkey on it, as sat on it, and as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when he was glorified, then they remembered that all these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he had called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, but because they heard that he had done this great sign." Next week is Resurrection Sunday. And Pastor Mike is going to share with us what God has to say about Resurrection Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday, and we're beginning to enter into a most festive time of the year for believers in Jesus Christ, which is all of us. And we should rejoice in that, but I want us to understand that the title of this message is Jesus, the game changer. You see, if it weren't for Jesus, the game would not have changed. If it wasn't for his obedience to the plan of God, we would still be dead in our trespasses and sin. And so what I want to emphasize to you is that change is inevitable for the believer. Change is inevitable, period, in anybody's life. But what Jesus does is he fulfills the scriptures to change our lives. He sat on a donkey. He fulfilled the word out of Zechariah 9:9. And those of us who are students of the scriptures, we understand that Jesus, I believe it's over 160 prophecies he fulfilled. Just think about it. 160 of those prophecies that he fulfilled. And yet, I'm only going to talk about a couple that he did when he entered into the city. One is, of course, Zechariah. The other one is Psalm 118 that talks about how the people rejoiced and declared, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is why it's good news. This is why for Jesus Christ to come into our lives, he had to come in such a way that is lowly and full of mercy and compassion. If he came into the world as a king who conquered and all, that's what the world expected. And he did something totally extraordinary that changed them. We have to understand that many people, if we could just close our eyes and focus on the crowds. Why did these people come? Well, they were coming, we know, to celebrate Passover. What was Passover? Who could tell me what Passover was? Absolutely. Absolutely. But there's some important significance in that. There's one detail in there that separates Israel so that they could leave Egypt. What was that? Didn't God say to them that the angel of death was going to come? And that the only way that the angel of death would pass over them was that they would spread the blood of the lamb onto the across the door, right? And when the angel saw that blood, everyone that was inside was safe. The death of the firstborn was declared. And they were going to come and celebrate this. They didn't recognize that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And yet, they were singing prophecy. And didn't even realize it. They were going to celebrate the Passover because it had become a religious activity. They were seeing God fulfill His Word. And because of it, we're all here today. Because of what He's done. Because He changed the game into our favor. And there was others who came out because they heard what Jesus did. Not only were they coming to celebrate Passover, but they heard that Jesus raised a person from the dead. Who has ever heard of such a thing? And yet they were curious. And that curiosity had them, as it says in Matthew, who is this guy? Who is this man? And of course the people replied, this is the prophet. The prophet. Jesus isn't just a prophet. He was the prophet that was prophesied by Moses. How many hundreds of thousands of years ago? And Jesus fulfilled that. And that's out of Deuteronomy. Jesus told the children of Israel, in due time God would raise up a prophet like him, and you should listen to him. But what happened? The religious people, they wanted to secure their power and position. They wanted to have their traditions honored instead of the will of God honored. And because of that, Jesus changed the game on them. People were coming to Jesus, rightfully so, because He is salvation. He isn't the author of it. He is, but He is our Savior. He is salvation. And only those who receive Jesus Christ can be saved, of which we are those. Our sins are forgiven. That's good news. We don't have to live by the traditions of people any longer. We live by the will of God in faith that He's going to do what He has promised us to do. And then, of course, there was the disciples. One of the disciples, when Jesus said, you know, I'm going to Jerusalem now. And he was steadfast in going to it. And his reply was, whether he lives or dies, let's go. Let's go see what happens. They weren't sure either. But they knew something was different. And Peter told them, you know, when Jesus examined them, he said, you know, who does the people say I am? And some say, well, some say you're one of the prophets. Some say you're this. Some say that. And Peter blurted out and said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus exhorted him and said, my Father has revealed this to you, Peter. You didn't receive this by word of man. You received this by revelation of God. And of course, just in that quick instant, he says, I will build my church. And Peter says, you know, you're not to die, Lord. And what happened? Jesus had to rebuke Satan, who was influencing him in his speech and in his thinking. He changed the game on Satan, even with his own disciples. Passover is a wonderful illustration of God's great love for us. It is a great time for us to understand that God died for the world and rose again to give us an option. And in this option, we can either choose life or death. We can either choose salvation through faith in Jesus Christ or not. You see, the game changer is this. That not only did Jesus go into Jerusalem, which is an illustration of coming to us, because doesn't it say out of Revelation 3:3, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you open the door and invite me in, we'll sup. And we'll talk. You know, communion over a dinner is the most intimate place people can find about other people. Why? Because there's a place of relaxing. It's a place of just getting to know each other. I love to eat. I love what my wife cooks. And I love the 12 pounds that I've lost. That's why I'm able to put this suit back on. I've learned that too much good cooking is not good for me. But when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the people were so excited about the prophet. The prophet was coming. And they threw down their cloaks. And they tore down the palm leaves and threw down. And as I was searching, I never knew the palm leaves pointed to victory. I never knew that. I've been saved for 32 years, never realized that. Victory to what? His ultimate victory over the enemy, over sin. And of course, we know that throwing the cloaks down and allowing the king to walk through is symbolic of us laying our lives down, allowing him to carry out his will through our lives. And it also signifies our allegiance to the king. We lay down our lives to do what he wants done. Very prophetic in these things, and yet we try to take the strength of what Jesus did out of it because we want to honor tradition. We want to honor Jesus. Jesus came into the world to pay for the debt of sinners. God is not angry with anyone. He loves us eternally. And if there was just only one person who had sinned, and we've heard this, he would have come to save that one. That's how much he loves. You know, we're told that God doesn't want anybody to perish, but all come to repentance. We have to really begin to understand that Jesus is more than our Savior. He's more than our friend. He's our King. And being King means we get to praise Him. We get to honor Him. We get to worship. Why? Because I know where I was going. And because His entry into my life, He changed my life. But Jesus wasn't satisfied in just entering into Jerusalem, because there was people there who were waiting for Him to declare His political aspirations as King. They figured if he is the King, and we're going to use Him as King and shout out His praises, well, then He's going to throw off the Roman oppression over the Jews. Did He come for that? No. And in 5 short days of being so joyous and so happy that the King was coming, they were saying, crucify Him. Crucify Him. I look at this and I see Christians who readily accept Jesus. They don't think about the cost. They don't think about what Jesus did in order for them to receive Him as King and to celebrate this act of sacrifice, that He was the Lamb of God, pure, perfect, without spot or blemish. He was God incarnate, and He is God, our King, our Savior, our friend, our lover. He is all that we need Him to be. He's all that and much, much more. But then when we start walking this thing out, we are no different than them. Like, can I speak for myself? When God started changing my life, I just shook my head. I thought I was walking in a rose garden. I thought everything was great. I thought everything was easy. That's the surface. God wants to deal with our heart. That's what He was doing. He was dealing with the heart of mankind. And not only did He deal with the heart in receiving their praise and receiving their public worship and declarations of Him King and receiving their praise. Because even the Pharisees said, you know, you need to get these guys to stop this. And He said, if they stop, the rocks that I cross over will praise Me. And I've told Pastor Mike, I'm not letting some stick or stone praise. I've been created to praise God. I've been created to worship Him. And I'm not going to let that happen. Because I realize just how much He loved me and gave up for me so that I could become like Him. We have to understand that as us as believers, change is coming. But what does change look like? Jesus illustrated this change when He went into the temple and He overturned the tables. He drove the animals out of the temple. The zeal of God consumed Him so much that it says in Scripture that the house of God is a house of prayer. And He drove the money changers out. He drove all those who were ripping off God's people so that they could offer out a sacrifice to atone for their sins. That speaks to me that when He changed overthrew the tables and drove out the money changers, and he drove out all the animals out of there to cleanse the house of God. That speaks to me of the change that he makes in my life and in your life. He wants our heart. He wants everything that we are because he's given everything to us. When he throws over the tables, I look like at what he's done in my life. He literally turned my life upside right for the first time. Friends I thought were my friends were no, I could see what they were all about. They weren't my friends. Jesus is my friend. Everything about my life, my job, the money I make, the time I spend with you guys, trips I take, Jesus is there with me. And how much of that is dedicated to him? To a point where I'm at, 32 years with the Lord, everything is his. Whatever he wants me to do, I am willing to do. Why? Because it's his anyway. See, he changes our attitude about the possessions that we have, and there's nothing more important than the relationships we have with each other. Our jobs, our money, our families, our children are all his. He's in control. But we hold on to it. We hold on to it and like we got any kind of control or say in it. You see, he's trying to change our heart by changing the attitude that we think about these things. He's driving the money changers out. He's driving people that really want to sell us a bill of goods that is terrible. It's not what God wants to give to us. But yet we're resistive to the good things that God wants to bestow upon us, which are blessings. And then when we receive a blessing, we want to hold on to it. And God tells us, no, give it away. And he'll give you more. Pressed down, shaken over, in good measure. You see, you can't outgive God, no matter what it is. We just do what he tells us to do. To change lives. To be able to speak life into another person's life. He drives the animals out. And I look at this as the demonic influences, because they're nothing but animals. And they want to keep us living so far below what God has deemed his children to be. You're royalty. You're not natural anymore. You're supernatural. Because of Jesus. And you've got to begin to believe what he says about you is true. He has no ill thoughts towards us. But those demons are still putting those words into our ears, and we're believing those lies. But Jesus has changed that. Because once he takes occupation of the heart, he drives all this nonsense out. I've learned a long time ago, surrender. Surrender it all. I've had people say to Pastor, I just don't understand how you're able to do this. It's only Christ in me. I want him to exude out of me. I want him to have the power and life to touch another's life and share my experiences in Jesus Christ with them, to encourage them, to build them up in such a way that they would take that and run with it and become more than I could even ask or imagine. You see, you were created to sit in a pew, a chair. You too now are game changers. It was 12 guys who changed the world upside right for 300 years. and the Spirit of God was guiding them. But it all started the day that Jesus entered in. Entered into our hearts. Entered into our lives. Entered into the way we think about stuff. He changed us in an instant. In an instant, he changed us. What we are right now, we are not the finished product. God sees the end. He sees us finished in Jesus Christ. We may have struggles. We may have difficulties. But that's all part of the deepening experience that he wants us to have with him. That he shows himself so strong that he leads us out of that. Scripture says that there's no temptation that has overtaken man. But in that temptation, God has made a way of escape. Jesus is not only our game changer, he is our escape hatch to whatever the enemy throws against us. God has such wonderful plans for us. But it all starts with us believing that he wants to use us. When people start seeing your life change and see my life even more change, unfortunately for me, they run to the hills. You're a pastor? Oh, out the door. Why? Because Scripture says that men's ways were wickedness and they don't want to come to the light because they desire wickedness and evil. But we who are of the light, we want to embrace the light. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be holy. And he says you are. We want to be righteous. He says you are. We want this. We want that. He says you are. You can't do this. You have to be it. You have to believe it before the reality of what he says is true. And when people see that, we have opportunity for the change to come. Because then they will hear and be asking us about what is it about Jesus that has changed you. And we will be able to share our faith with them, not in a confrontational way. Just like Pastor Barry was sharing with a story. I can't tell you how many times I've shared the good news with someone and I was thinking that person was it, and there was a person behind me that received Christ, or a person over here who heard and said, you know, I really, really want to believe. You don't have to want, just believe. It's faith. It's real simple. Just believe it. And that's what he wants to do in our lives. Satan wants to keep us under his nails, but we have been changed from one kingdom to another kingdom. We have a different way in which we look because he has changed the way we look at people. He has changed the game in our favor. We need to pay attention because when we share the message of the gospel, it's really your testimony that is really, because they can't shake that. They can't refute the experience that you have in Jesus Christ. Because that's intimate and personal to you. And they can't refute the change that has happened in your life and in my life. I will never go back to those things. Because I know God has so much for me, and I want it. If you don't want your stuff, well, I've told you many times, I'll take it. I'm a glutton for God. I got my head beat up by Satan, but then when I learned who I am and the power I have in Jesus Christ, guess what doesn't happen anymore? I don't listen to Satan. I have brothers and sisters around me that will encourage me. Keep me in the Word. Keep me washed in the Word. Keep me in prayer of the Word. That's what you have here. You have family like you've never had before. Jesus changed you and accepted you into His family. And when we share what God has done in our lives, it gives that person who has heard the Word or has seen, who is inquisitive about Jesus, who wants to know about the guy or the man upstairs. He's not the man upstairs. He's God who dwells in me and in you. Be bold for Jesus. Be bold. Because He was fearless. He was going into the lion's den, so to speak. He was fearless for the zeal of God that was consuming Him. And we need to let God consume us. Not be consumed by our circumstances. Not be consumed about our situations or lack of or what we don't have or what we see others having that we want. We need to repent. Let God cleanse us in His blood. Because then, only then, will they see and understand. God, I know God is knocking at the door of our hearts. And He wants to take us deeper. What is it that He's asked of you? And He doesn't demand, He asked. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force Himself on people. That's why He stands at the door and knocks. What is it that He's asking you to give to Him? Is He asking you to give up control of your life? When I gave that up, my life actually got better. Is He asking you to give up certain relationships that are not good for you? Well, are there things in your life that you're battling, not realizing you're already set free? You're not the battle, it's the Lord's battle. You see, Jesus changed the game that we stop all activity and believe that He's going to take it. When we cast our cares on Him, let Him do what He does best. Care for us. Because He deeply cares for us. Jesus is entering into a new phase in each of our lives. And He wants us to be bold. Dare to believe God. Whatever it is, believe the impossible. And He'll make it possible. All those pains and hurts and things that have come into our lives, He took to the cross. You are set free. Don't hold on to it. Don't harbor those things. But don't minimize, because it does affect our soul. It does affect us. But there's a greater calling than just to wallow in the hurts and the pains that God wants and has delivered us from. We're only in control of ourselves. We're not in control of anyone else. Jesus loves us intently. He wants us in totality. He doesn't want just a piece here or a piece there. He gave us all of Himself to us. Doesn't He deserve all of us? Amen? Gomez, you want to lead us in prayer?